Good morning, everyone. I'm Lemon McGarrity, and I will be your host again today for the Truth Will Set You Free broadcast. And I want to thank everyone for tuning in. And I hope you're finding the messages that Lonnie and I are presenting very helpful in your understanding of what the Word of God actually says. So again, thank you all for tuning in. Now, last week I shared with you an awesome prophecy given by the prophet Daniel that has been misunderstood by most church leaders since the 3rd century AD. This is a very serious problem, sisters and brothers, because this misunderstanding has led to a mistranslation of Daniel 7 verse 25 by the King James interpreters, which actually changed the entire course of modern Christianity and led it away from some very, very important doctrines taught to the 1st, 2nd, and 3rd century New Testament church. Things taught by the apostles themselves. And as we will discover, that includes the Gentile churches as well. Now, sisters and brothers, let's first turn to Daniel 7:25 in the King James Bible and see just how the King James interpreters mistranslated this verse. Now, the King James Version says this, "And he, the fourth beast, shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws." You see, the problem revolves around the word times in this verse. Now, as I shared with you last week, Daniel chapter 2, verses 4 through Daniel 7, verses 28 was written by Daniel in the Aramaic language, not the Hebrew language. So this means that the word times in this verse was translated from an Aramaic word, doesn't it? And the Aramaic word it was translated from is zaman. And that word actually means festival times and is referring to God's annual festivals listed in the book of Leviticus chapter 23. We read several Bible commentaries confirming this, but let's read one of them again, just to prove that what we are telling you, sisters and brothers, is the truth. So let's see what the Barnes Notes has to say again about the word times in Daniel 7 verses 25. Now, quoting Barnes now, Daniel 7, 23 through 27, the word times or zamans would seem to refer properly to some stated or designated times, as times appointed for festivals. Lagerke rendered the word fienzeiten, festival times, and explained it as meaning the holy time, festival days, as listed in Leviticus chapter 23, verses 2, 4, 37, and 44. With that information, now we see that Daniel 7, verse 25 should read, "And he, the fourth beast, shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change God's appointed festivals and laws." Now, there you have it, sisters and brothers, and that's what that verse should have been translated to read. Now, I read a couple of Bible translations that have correctly translated this verse. Today, I want to read another one, the Amplified Bible, which says, "And he shall speak words against the Most High," talking about God here now, as he has that in parentheses there, "and shall wear out the saints of the Most High and think to change the time," or in parentheses here, "or sacred feasts and holy days and the law." Now, that's good enough for me right there, sisters and brothers, and I believe it ought to be good enough for you. But listen here. There's another word in this verse that I think we need to take a look at here, and it will better help us to understand what's being said here. And that word is the word change. And since it is in the same verse, it is also an Aramaic word, which is Strong's 8133, and means to alter, to set, or organize a new order. And the word alter means to change, rework, or make over. Now, understanding the meaning of these two Aramaic words changes the whole meaning of this verse in a huge way. Let me tell you about it, sisters and brothers. The correct translation of this verse actually tells us that it was not Jesus Christ's sacrifice that changed, altered, or reworked God's holy festivals and laws. Now, let me say that again, because it is just too important for us to miss, sisters and brothers. You got to catch this. This verse is telling us that it was not Jesus Christ's sacrifice that changed, altered, or reworked God's holy festivals and laws. Now, in chapter 7, verse 23, Daniel tells us very clearly that it is the fourth beast that does this. Did you get that, sisters and brothers? The fourth beast. Now, sisters and brothers, are we going to believe God's word or clergymen who are falsely teaching that God's laws and festivals were absolutely abolished by the sacrifice of Jesus Christ? Check this out, sisters and brothers. Jesus himself said that many would come in his name, saying that he was the Christ and would mislead the many. He said that in Matthew 24. You can read it there for yourself. Jesus went on to say, as recorded in the book of Mark 7, verse 6 through 9, these people, this is talking about the people of God then, and he's talking about the people of God today. This is what he says. These people, talking about God's people, honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far away from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrine the precepts of men. There you go, sisters and brothers. Satan is using men to confuse and mislead God's people away from the truth, away from understanding the knowledge that God reveals to us about the salvational works of Jesus Christ in his holy annual festivals. Now, you are wondering probably what this is all about, what I'm talking about here, this fourth beast. Who is this fourth beast who set out to change, alter, and replace God's festival and laws? And why is he so dead set on doing so? Well, sisters and brothers, it's because God's holy days, just like I said, the awesome message of God's grace, redemption, and salvation is wrapped up in God's annual holy days. Jesus is packed away in each one of these events that are talked about in these holy festivals of our God. Now, do you see why this blasphemous fourth beast is so intent to change God's holy festivals? Because it talks about the salvational works of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And by saying they've been done away with, actually causes us to walk contrary to our Heavenly Father and our Creator, and to walk in sin. Because sin is transgression of God's law. I went over that, I think, in the last broadcast, where it says in 1 John 3:4, sin is lawlessness. He who commits sin also commits lawlessness. Read it for yourself right there, sisters and brothers, in 1 John 3:4. See what sin really is. They don't tell you sin is walking in contrary to the instructions of God. They tell you sin is everything but. You see, because see, those laws that God says to break or sin have been nailed to the cross, causing us all who believe that to walk in error, to walk contrary to our Creator, and to be in sin. And that's what this Satan wants, and that's why he uses men. Notice what he says right here in Matthew 7, verses 21. This is Matthew 7, verse 21. And he's talking about men who come before him on judgment day, people who come before him on judgment day, leaders of the people who come before him on judgment day. That's what he says, right? He says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, didn't we not prophesy in your name? And in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? And look at what God said. Look at what Jesus Christ says to him right here in verse 23. Now, none of you want to hear this, brothers and sisters. And I hope those who are ministers, who are responsible for leading people, get this. And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye who practice lawlessness. And didn't I read for you a few minutes ago, sisters and brothers, what lawlessness is? I'm going to turn back there and read it again for you so you'll get a clear understanding of what Jesus Christ says sin is. And you don't hear this from the ministers or the clergymen that you listen to on your radio station or on Sunday mornings. You don't hear them delineate these verses. And this is what it says in 1 John 3 and verse 4. Everyone who practices sin also practices lawlessness. And sin is lawlessness. Did you get that, sisters and brothers? Did you get it? Sin is lawlessness. And that's what the beast wants you to do. That's what Satan wants you to do. He wants you to walk in enmity against God. And so far, sisters and brothers, he has the majority of the Christian community held captive, bondage to this deception of lies that have been told about by men who come in the name of Jesus. Paul says there in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 that they appear as men, as angels of light. And he says, no wonder that they appear as angels of light, because Satan himself appears as an angel of light and deceives the many. Sisters and brothers, please check it out for yourself. Don't get caught up in the dismantling of God's truth, God's holy days, and God's laws. Because, see, only Satan wants to do away with God's laws. Because Satan wants to do away with God. That's his whole plan. He wants to ascend above God. But as I read for you last week, God's festivals are outlined in Leviticus chapter 23. And I want to get back to that because I think it's very important that you understand this. You see, the physical nation of Israel never understood the spiritual application or spiritual meaning of what God's holy days were all about. They didn't have it. They couldn't know because the Holy Spirit had not yet been given that they could understand it. They couldn't receive the Holy Spirit because they had not been cleansed by the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Blood of goats and bulls couldn't do what that blood did. So they had no way of understanding the spiritual application, not until Jesus Christ came on the scene. So we're going to go back, and I want to explain them a little bit more in detail to you so that you can get the spiritual application of what God wants you to gain from his holy annual festivals. So let's go over them again, sisters and brothers. God's annual festival are the Passover, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, Pentecost, the Feast of Trumpets, the Day of Blowing of Trumpets, rather, the Day of Atonement, the Feast of Tabernacles, and the Last Great Day. So let's just see what the New Testament events, each one of these festivals actually depict. And as we go through each one of God's festival days, please take note of how these festivals actually reveal God's plan of salvation for humanity. That's what they're all about. Now, it should be fairly obvious that Passover foreshadows and now depicts the bloody, sacrificial crucifixion of Jesus Christ, the true Lamb of God, and is also the night Jesus instituted the taking of the wine and bread, which symbolizes his shed blood and torn body given to humanity for the forgiveness of their sins. And this shouldn't be difficult for even those new to the Christian faith to understand. And next, What we have is the Feast of Unleavened Bread, which is a seven-day festival starting the day after Passover, celebrating the removal of our sins through the sacrifice of Jesus, as pictured and depicted by the Passover. And this festival is a seven-day celebration praising and honoring our Heavenly Father for having unleavened or cleansed us, get that, from all our sins, by washing them away in the blood of his son, Jesus Christ. And next in God's plan of salvation is the day of Pentecost, which obviously pictures the sending forth and receiving of God's Holy Spirit. And speaking about how God reveals his plan of salvation in his holy festivals, just stop for a moment and take note of how God placed the day of Pentecost, representing the issuing forth of and receiving of the Holy Spirit, right after the festival of Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Now think about that for a minute, sister, brother. And why is that? Why did he do that? Because before a person can receive God's Holy Spirit, they must first be cleansed by the blood of the Lamb and unleavened from all their sins. And the Holy Spirit could not be given to mankind as a whole until the means for them to be cleansed of their sins had taken place. That's why the nation of Israel did not know the spiritual meaning of God's holy festivals. The Holy Spirit had not yet been given. We read that there in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 8. The Holy Spirit is signifying this, that the way into the holy place had not yet been disclosed while the outer tabernacle is still standing. So, sisters and brothers, do you think that God thought all of this through? Do you think he thought of every minute detail? Of course he did. And this fact alone should be proof to any reasonable thinking Christian that God's holy festivals are not just some Old Testament Jewish feast, but are God's feast, which reveals each stage of his plan of salvation for all of mankind through the sacrificial works of his son, Jesus Christ. Makes sense, doesn't it, sisters and brothers? I think it does. Next is the day of blowing of trumpets, which depicts the return of Christ at the sound of the last trump, when he takes full dominion over the kingdoms and nations of this world, and also resurrect his beloved first fruits, or saints, as we call them. Now, understanding this holy day of God should certainly put an end to this secret rapture stuff that many of these clergymen are talking about. And read it for yourself right here in Revelation 1 and verse 7. Look what it says there in that verse. This should be conclusive proof that there is no secret rapture. It says, behold, in Revelation chapter 1, verse 7, behold, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierce him, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn over him. So it is to be. Amen. Hey, sisters and brothers, did you take note of who it was that pierced Jesus? Wasn't it a Roman soldier, a representative of the beast power that pierced Jesus while he hung on the cross? Well, read it for yourself right there in John chapter 19, verses 34. Then there is the Day of Atonement. As I mentioned last week, the Day of Atonement pictures the removal of Satan from mankind for 1,000 years, as he is cast into the pit and the seals set upon him, so he will no longer be able to deceive humanity during Christ's 1,000-year reign. And because of Satan's removal, mankind can truly be made at one with God. Did you get that, sisters and brothers? Day of Atonement, or at one man. And this day can also be called the Day of Reconciliation, because see, on this day, mankind will have an opportunity to be at one with God, the Day of Atonement. And next is the Feast of Tabernacles, which pictures this 1,000-year reign I just mentioned of Jesus Christ, 1,000 years that Jesus Christ is going to rule on this earth. Then comes the last great day, which portrays the time when the great white throne judgment takes place. This is after the 1,000-year reign of Jesus Christ, when the rest of the dead, everyone who had ever lived, was resurrected and come before Jesus Christ for judgment. Read it there for yourself in Revelation chapter 20. Now, brothers and sisters, are you beginning to see that God's whole plan of grace, redemption, and salvation is totally revealed, engraved, and inscribed in the true spiritual meaning of his festivals? I hope you're getting it, sisters and brothers. And brothers and sisters, there's one other fact that you got to take into consideration. And please, I want you to take good note of this, that the fact that three of the events depicted by his holy annual festivals have not taken place. Did you get it? Three of God's annual festivals have not taken place yet. So how could these festivals be done away with at this time? Now, that should tell you something right there. God's annual festivals are just as viable today as they were when Israel was told to observe them back on Mount Sinai. And how do we know that God's festivals are alive and well today and should be kept by all New Testament Christians? Well, let's take a look right here and see what the Apostle Paul had to say about keeping God's holy festivals. Look at what he says right here. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 7 and 8. Paul tells the church at Corinth to keep the Feast of Unleavened Bread. The Corinth church had some Jews in there as members, but it was mostly comprised of Gentiles. And how do we know this? Just listen to what the Apostle Paul says to the Corinth church in 1 Corinthians 12, verses 1 through 2. This is what he says right here. He says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Ye know that ye were Gentiles." Did you get that? He's talking to a Gentile, predominantly Gentile church. He says, "You were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led." They were led away. They were led astray to follow dumb idols by those who were over them, the ministers. Those people responsible for guiding them in God's way, they allowed them to turn and go another way. Remember the scripture there in Revelation 2 and 3, where Jesus Christ was sending a message to the leaders of the seven churches. And look at what he was telling them. They had allowed the people to slip into Baal worship and all kinds of unholy things. And Jesus Christ cried out to them to repent, or he would come and remove their candlesticks. Well, sisters and brothers, once again, it's time for me to close the program for today. But listen, tune in next week as we continue to look into this prophecy of Daniel and this mystery of this fourth beast. And we know the answer to this mystery, sisters and brothers, so don't miss next week's program as we get into who this beast actually is and when and how he went about changing God's holy festivals and laws. So once again, remember, it's always profitable to keep God's word before your face. And don't believe what any man tells you unless you can prove that he is a genuine minister of Jesus Christ. And how are you going to do that? A genuine minister of Jesus Christ will be observing God's holy annual festivals and keeping God's law. So until next week, sisters and brothers, remember, if it's truth that sets you free, then it can only be lies or untruths that keep us in bondage.